Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
Good morning. Hey, good morning and welcome to Vision Church. I'm Kenny Mills. Glad to be with you today. So as you can probably tell, if you're new with us, my name is not Pastor Tyson. I am not our pastor. He's a lot taller, a lot better looking. But hey, I want to tell you, and can we just celebrate really quickly? Because scripture says, a man finds a good thing when he finds his wife. And y'all check out this picture right here. Our pastor found a good thing last Sunday. He got married. Come on. Yeah, right? How awesome is that? So pastor married his incredible wife, Christina. They are on their honeymoon right now in Cancun, and I hope they're not watching online right now. If you are, go. No, just go. Do your honeymoon thing. Don't watch online. It's okay. But hey, real quick, I told them, hey, we're not going to show any pictures or videos of Cancun because it's going to make the rest of us jealous and want to go back and you know, all that kind of stuff. So we're not going to do that. But we're excited for our pastor and his wife and excited for what God's got for them. It's an incredible ceremony, and so we're excited. He's going to be back next Sunday to finish out our Ghost Follower series. And so the second thing I want to share with you before we dive right in, Fall Fest is coming up this week. And I just want to make one more quick push. Listen, my wife and my son are going to be there. In fact, actually, some of you may not know this. I had the opportunity to preach a couple of months ago and got the opportunity to introduce myself and my family to you. And I told you then that my wife's pregnant. Since then, we found out she's having identical twin boys. I know, right? Somebody said, no way. Imagine how I felt. Imagine how I felt when we found out. I'm like, I literally laughed and cried at the exact same time. How do you do that? But anyway, so my family's going to be at Fall Fest, and we would love for you to come. Check this out. Last Saturday, we had volunteers who went and hung these on doors and invited our neighbors and friends to come and enjoy Fall Fest. It's one of our best outreach opportunities as a church. And so today on your way out, if you want to stop by our Fall Fest table, you can grab some of these to use as an invite, to invite some of your friends, family, coworkers, whatever that might be. Also, I just want you to know, we could certainly use some help making Fall Fest happen. And so if you're available and you'd like to be a part of that, you can meet our table out front on your way out today and just let them know that you'd like to serve and be a part of that. Well, we are going to continue to jump into our Ghost Follower series today. We're in the third installment. So really what this entire series is about those of us who are followers of Jesus, who are disciples, who are kind of doing it from a distance. Right? So like the idea here that we showed in the video is like an Instagram follower who always just scrolls and swipes and just sees what's going on but never engages. They never double tap or they never comment, they never engage. And that's what a ghost follower looks like. And the reality is that, listen, we have ghost followers who are part of the church. They come and they come on Sundays and they hang out and then they go home and that's it. And so here's the thing. I'm going to go ahead and set you up really well for where we're going today. I'm going to come at you a little hard today, if that's all right. I'm doing it out of love. But if that's been you, and you've been a part of this church for a while, or maybe any church for a while, and you just show up and you do Sunday and you go home, I'm just telling you, God's got more for you than that. It's time to stop being a ghost follower. And here's how I want to tie all this together. So when I was growing up, I played baseball. And I actually had a pretty good arm. I got a chance to play a little college baseball. I could not hit. So I hardly ever got on the field. But one of the things I learned was that as a pitcher, you have to have someone who's a catcher to catch the ball, right? Or if you're playing third base, somebody hits you a ground ball, you have to have a first baseman there to throw so you can get the guy out, right? We need, as a team, we need outfielders who can run and catch, and we need people who can actually hit, because I couldn't help the team that way. But as a whole team, all these different parts make up a whole team. And you need every part to make up the entire team, right? Does that make sense? And so if someone's missing, that means we're not a whole team, and we're going to struggle to be able to really succeed. This also looked pretty similar in my life because I went to school to be a high school chorus teacher. And so when I tell people that, they're like, oh, so that means you can sing. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. In fact, I'm a terrible singer. That's why I did chorus, because as a soloist, you can stand out front. Listen, you guys, we have incredible worship leaders here who lead every Sunday, and they're awesome. They're gifted. They're talented, right? That's not me. I like to sing, but I'm not very good at it. And so I fit inside of a blended choir, right? You put a whole bunch of other people around me and I sound a lot better then. But that's where my gifting is. That's where I best fit. And so I want to tie these two things together for us, because what happens is, as a church, we see people who are ghost followers, people who are kind of on the edge. But guess what? It's time to come and be a part of what's going on. And I want to show you what this looks like in Scripture, because Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. So if you want to join me there, if you have your Bible or a Bible app, we're certainly going to throw the Scripture on the screen. You can check it out there too. But if you go to 1 Corinthians, or as our president calls it, 1 Corinthians... If you go there, we're going to go to chapter 12, and we're going to pick up, and I want to share a few things with you. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So what Paul's saying here is that the body of Christ, meaning the church, is made up of many different parts, right? It goes on to say in verse 18, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. So there's actually two things at play here I want you to see. When Paul's talking about the body, he's actually referencing two different things here. One meaning the big C church, the big body of the church. But as the big body of the church, there are smaller parts, meaning each local church. You see, Paul's a church planter. He's planting churches all over at this point. But also here inside of the local church, this local church is made up of many parts. That's me and you. That's us. And so what Paul's saying to here is that he's put us here just where he wants us. And so as a church, we can be encouraged. This is exactly where God has planted Vision Church, because this is where he wants us. And if you're here, he's planting you here, because this is where he wants you to be as well. It's key. In verse 19, it goes on to say, how strange a body would be if it had only one part. You see, a lot of times when we look at the church, we see a pastor who stands up here and we think like, well, that's the church. But in reality, that's not it. That's a misunderstanding of what church is. The pastor, though, is one part to the body. Each of us are other parts. Verse 22, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So one of the things I bet our pastor would tell you if he were standing here is that he is one part. And though we all get a chance to hear from him and see him every single Sunday, there's so many other people who play vital parts to our church, right? And then the last verse in verse 27 says, all of you together, are Christ's body, and each of you is to play a part. And so listen, here's the idea is we're a team. And this body of believers, this church, it's a team. And it's made up of many different parts. And there's four things that I want to share with you today that help us understand how you fit into this. And if you're a ghost follower, why I think you should take a step in to what's going on. And the first one is this. I have 4 points, and if you're taking notes, you can take them down. The first point is this. You are gifted. You are gifted. I don't know. I just felt somebody needed to hear that today. Somebody's been struggling with the fact that you feel less than, you feel not worthy of. But guess what? Each and every single one of you are gifted in something, to do something. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Your gifts, they are meant for a purpose. You are gifted to play a part and to play in the right spot. So like the baseball analogy again, if I have someone who cannot run and they cannot catch a fly ball, I don't want them in the outfield. They're actually gonna hurt our team. And so when we look at how our gifting fits, we wanna help people get in the exact right spot, because that's where they're gonna make the biggest difference. Each of you are uniquely and specifically gifted to play a certain part. And many of us, as maybe we're ghost followers, you're thinking, well, I don't really fit in. I don't really know what part I should play. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So we're going to move on to a different scripture. Slide over with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to share a story with you. 2 Kings chapter 4. There's this really awesome story that we're going to dive into. Verse 1 says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." So I want to set up this story for you real quick. A lot of scholars believe that this is Obadiah's wife. Obadiah was a prophet who helped save 100 other prophets. And so what that would mean is that after Obadiah's death, he's got these creditors. He probably spent a lot of money to help save these other prophets who were basically being killed. They were being chased after. So here Obadiah's wife is stuck with this debt. She's got these two boys to raise. So she goes to Elisha, who's the prophet of the day, and she basically says, "Hey, I need some help here. We got no money." And he says to her, and I love it, "Well, what do you have in your house?" And I think that's a really interesting question, because I think there are a lot of times that sometimes in our time of need, we ask for help, but sometimes we forget to look at what we already have. This happens to me all the time. We actually saw this with Moses as well. Moses and God are having this interaction where he's like, "Hey, I want you to go do all these things." And Moses is like, "Okay, well, what? And he's like, "What's in your hand?" And there's a staff. And Moses uses the staff. At one time, he throws it down. It turns into a snake. Another time, he rises it up and it splits the Red Sea. Another time, he hits it on a rock and it causes water to come flowing. See, sometimes we forget what we have in our own hands is an incredible gift that God's already given you. Sometimes we just overlook it. The second quick thing I want you to see about this is that in the Old Testament, the idea of oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so this jar that she says she has is filled with oil, and this could be representative of the Holy Spirit. And this is how this applies to you and I. I want you to see this because the story ties exactly into what we're trying to talk about. I'm going to hit several different scriptures today, so hang with me. I promise we're going to circle it all together. But if you slide over to Jeremiah chapter 18, so we have the story of this widow woman who's asking Elisha for help, and he asks her what she has, and she says, "All I have is this jar of oil." And then there's this story in Jeremiah chapter 18. In verse 1, it says, "The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, 'Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there.' So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his will. But the jar, remember that. But the jar he was making did not turn out the way he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave me this message, 'O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand.'" Check this out. See this, because we're talking about this jar. It's full of oil. But what God tells Jeremiah here is, listen, I need you to hear this. You are clay and I'm the potter. And I can make of you anything that I want to make of you. And ultimately, God continues to make jars out of each of us, this vessel. And he's called us, he's equipped us, he's gifted us to be a jar to carry the Holy Spirit. When we have an encounter with Jesus and we meet him, the Holy Spirit then lives within us. And so we as a vessel, as a jar, wherever we go, we carry the Holy Spirit with us wherever we go. Do you see how that ties together? So this woman says, "I have nothing except this jar of oil." Guess what? Sometimes people say, "I have nothing." Can I just tell you, you are a jar of oil. Somebody got that. Somebody just got that. Somebody understood, like, you are gifted. Let me dive back into the rest of the story because it's really awesome. And so the second point that I want you to see is, first of all, you are gifted. The second one is you are valuable. Because in this moment, Elisha's basically asking this widow woman, "Well, what do you have of value? What can you sell that can help you pay off your debt?" And she recognizes, "Well, I have this jar of oil." And so, again, we've already pointed out how God has made you into this incredible vessel. You are valuable. I really want you to see this. You've been potted and you've been put together by the potter. You've been clayed together. That makes you valuable. Just as valuable as this one woman has this one jar of oil, you're valuable. The third point I want you to see is this. And by the way, we're going to move pretty quickly today. It's going to be a fairly short message, and I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. But the third point is this, is that you were created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. So here we go. We've got you are gifted, you are valuable, and you were created for a purpose. If you're still in your Bible, slide over to Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10. We're going to throw this on the screen. It's just one verse, and it says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So this idea of the potter making this clay into something, you were put together for a purpose in advance to do good works. You were created for a purpose. And y'all, I can just be super honest with you. There have been times in my life where I wasn't really sure what that purpose was for me. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you find yourself in dark places and you just think, well, I'm just here. I'm just alive. I don't really have a purpose. I'll just go to my job. I'll make money. I'll come home. I'll eat. I'll go to bed and I'll go do it again tomorrow. But you were created for more than that. You were created for a purpose. And so we have these three ideas: that you are gifted, you are valuable, and you are created for a purpose. And honestly, we've seen some of these incredible stories play out here at our church. And so I want to share three of them with you today, because I think they can preach this story even better than I can. So the first story is about my man Livingston and his wife Kirsten. So earlier this year, they moved from California. And as they came, they were asking God, is this really where we're supposed to move? Is this the church for us? Is this what we're really supposed to do? And so they decided, they came at Easter and they started to get plugged in and actually started to come to serve. But they went to this event that we call Next Steps, which is how you get plugged into our church. And they heard about this idea of serving. And Livingston tells the story that he heard about serving on the parking team. And in his honesty, he's like, yeah, man, like, that's a little below me. I'm not going to serve on the parking team. Well, come to find out, that's exactly what God had for him. And so Livingston started serving on the parking team, exactly what he didn't want to do. He started serving on the parking team. And I love this because now all of a sudden Livingston is leading the parking team, y'all, right? This guy goes from serving on the parking team to leading the parking team, the place where he didn't even think he was. And here's what's really cool about this story. He was telling me about how he loves this team, how they get together, their community for him, they encourage him, they challenge him just like he does for them. He also says if you ever wanted to run a marathon, that's the right team because there's some people who will train you on that team. So if you want to run a marathon, go join the parking team. I probably won't go join the parking team for that purpose. I don't want to run. But here's what I love. Because they got plugged in, because they got connected to serving and they found community in this, they actually realized that they had a next step to take to be obedient in their walk with Jesus. And so in September of this year, just a few months ago, both Livingston and Kirsten took their next step and got baptized right there. Check these pictures out. Look at that, man. That's something to celebrate, church. Because they got connected, they recognized that they were called to something greater. They realized they were gifted and they were valuable and they were meant for a purpose. There's a second story that I want to share with you. It's my friend named Chase. See, Livingston and Kirsten, they've only been a part of our church for just a little while. But Chase has been around since day one. Chase was at UNC Charlotte, and he heard about this little thing called C4, which is this little college ministry that has then birthed Vision Church. And Chase was there from the beginning. He met our pastor and fell in love with him and started to come along with him and serve. And he just fell in love with it, and he's been along the ride ever since. Here's what I love about Chase's story, and this was the thing that got to me the other day when we were talking about this idea. See, Chase is a part of our setup team and our teardown team. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but we're not in a church. We're in a gym. We're in a school. Did you notice that? We do a pretty good job of setting up and tearing down so that you can't tell. But this stuff doesn't just magically appear. Like, there's not one button that we push and it just all magically just happens. We have an organized team of volunteers who shows up every weekend, every Saturday, to set this place up, to get it ready for you to be here. See, that chair you're sitting in, it didn't just magically fall in place. It got placed there by a person. And Chase is a part of that team. And one of the things that I love about this was that just a few weeks ago, Chase was a part of setting up on the Saturday before we had baptism. And the very next day on Sunday, he got a chance to see his wife, Stephanie, get baptized. Look at this picture. How cool is that? How cool is that? Don't miss this. Chase literally set the scene for his wife to take a next step and get baptized. Literally. You guys, this is incredible. See, a lot of people think that just serving, just being a part of the church is just showing up and smiling and waving and that. You guys, there's so much more to this. The last story I want you to hear about is, to me, it's really powerful. It's this young lady named Callie. See, when Callie came to Vision Church, she was not in a really great place. She'd been through some tough things, and she would be honest enough to tell you that she came to Vision Church 3 days sober. And so as you can probably imagine, she probably was looking for a lot of different things. And she didn't necessarily feel like she was worthy to be able to step in and to serve. But here's one of the cool things I love about Callie's story and the way she explained it. She said, I didn't necessarily understand that I was needed, but I knew I needed it because I needed something greater than myself to be a part of. And she would tell you that serving has helped save her in so many different ways. It's provided her community. It's provided her a stability. It's provided her a place that she can get plugged in and deal with the pain and the hurt that she's done. And now she uses that and turns it into ministry of her own. Callie literally leads the entire financial area of our church. She deals with all of our finances. And so here this young lady is who comes in feeling broken, feeling unworthy, and serving, being a part of this thing has helped her see her incredible potential and what God had for her. You guys, each of you are just like Livingston and Chase and Callie. You are gifted, you are valuable, and you were created for a purpose. And it's meant to play out. Let me show you the rest of this story in 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 3 says, Elijah said, come around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars as each is filled. Put it to the side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. She just kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. You guys, I want you to see this, because this is exactly where we are in a lot of ways. This is where we are as a church. See, this woman has this thing that she needs, and Elisha says, hey, go out to all your neighbors and gather as many jars as you can, and you bring them back, and guess what? That jar of oil that you had, you just pour it, and you just keep pouring into as many jars as you've got. You just pour, and as many jars as her and her sons could pull into the house, she kept pouring. But did you see that when they had no more jars, the oil stopped flowing? See this. If they had found more jars, guess what? The oil would have kept flowing. You guys, this church is in a really incredible place. It's 6 years old, and it is hitting a really cool growth spurt. We're seeing more and more people show up every day. I just got an opportunity to meet a couple this morning that's got a little girl in there looking for a place. Like, man, we see it every week, new people coming to check out Vision Church and to be a part of what God's doing here. But the problem is, if I'm being very honest with you, the problem is that we have about 25% of our church serving 100% of our church. And can I just tell you, that's not sustainable. For what God's going to do here and what he's going to bring into this house, we're running out of jars. And so today, I'm going to be as honest and straightforward as I can with you. Today is about finding our neighbors and gathering some more jars. It's about helping you understand that if you've just been sitting on the sideline, it's time to jump in and get involved. You are gifted, you are valuable, and you were created for a purpose. And here's the other part, you are needed. You are needed. If God's going to continue to pour out oil, continue to pour out blessing on this house, we need more jars to continue to hold it. Each one of you are a vessel to hold on to more of that. Would you come be a part of it? Because here's the other thing. It's not just for this church. As you heard through Livingston and Chase and Callie's story, it was for them as well. Would you just get off of the sideline and come be a part of what's happening? I'm going to ask our band to come join us. I want to show you one last thing. If you have your Bible, go to John chapter 2. I want to show you this really cool story, and we're going to close. I told you we were going to get done early today. I know you're like, man, we're going to beat the lunch crowd today. You might. If I could leave you with one thing, because as I'm asking you to step out of the sidelines and to step into the game and to be used as a vessel, I want you to see something that's really key, because maybe you've heard this message. You're like, man, that's pretty heavy-handed, Kenny. That's pretty straightforward. And maybe you're thinking, does God really need me like that? And the reality is, I'll lovingly tell you no. God doesn't need you. He wants you. The thing is that he doesn't need any of us, but how awesome that he chose to use us. And so look at this story, and I love this story. In John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. By the way, how awesome is it that we get a chance to follow a Savior who got invited to the party? Like, how cool is that? Like, he's the cool dude. He gets invited to the party. When the wine was gone, we're not going to turn Baptist. We're not even going to talk about that part. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour's not yet come. And y'all, I got a mom, and I can absolutely see how this goes. Like, my mom would be like, hey, they got this problem. And I'm like, mom, no, I don't want to get involved. This is what Jesus is saying. Mom, it's not my hour. And like any good mom, she ignored him, and she said, do whatever he tells you. And so nearby stood six stone water jars. Here we are again, a jar. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot of water, y'all. That's a lot of water. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water so that they may be filled to the brim. Can I just quickly tell you, would you just, if you're going to do anything, would you just do it all the way? Man, let's stop just filling a jar halfway. If you're going in, you're going to carry that entire jar and you're going to fill it up, or however many times you got to go back and forth to the well, you're going to just do it to the brim. Verse 8, then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. And I'm just telling you, somebody needs to hear this word right here today. Somebody needs to hear this. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Please get this. Those who serve get a front row seat to miracles. And I hear all the time people saying, well, the church is dying. The church is dead. We never see miracles anymore. You know what? Those are coming from people who aren't sitting on the front row. Those are coming from people who are watching from the sideline and offering their criticism and being a Sunday's armchair quarterback. The people who are serving and who are part of the miracle, they get a chance to testify with their own story and to testify with other stories of the miracles that we get to see every single day. The servants knew what had happened. And so, church, it's as straightforward as I can be with you today. Would you come be a servant? Would you come be a jar so that we can continue to fill it, so that God can continue to fill this house, so that we can change this city, so that we can tell more people about who he is? Would you come? And so today, we're going to finish a good bit early. Because the challenge for you today is to take a next step today. Today. And listen, you might be here for the first Sunday. You might have been coming for years. It doesn't really matter. If you know that God's calling you to step in, today's your day. Right after the service, we're going to have a special next steps. And listen, this is a really quick little thing that we do where we share about 10 to 15 minutes of the vision and values of our church. We talk a little bit about the core tenets of our faith. And then we tell you how you can get connected to community in our church, whether in a connect group or whether through serving. Today, we're going to have it right after the service. And so in just a minute, when we dismiss, right outside at our connect table, there's going to be someone holding a sign that says next steps. Would you just today, before you even go to lunch, would you take a step and say, I'm in? Don't you want to be a part of seeing the miracles? Don't you want a front row seat? And to those of you in our church who are already in, can I just tell you thank you? Can we just tell you thank you? But because the way that you serve, the way that you're building this church is making a difference. Livingston, Stephanie, Chase, Kirsten, Callie, myself, my son. My son's going to meet Jesus in this church because people are standing back there right now serving him in Vision Kids. That's what you get a chance to be a part of today if you would take that step. 25 minutes of your time. And I know what you're saying. Well, Kenny, I don't know. I wasn't really planning on that. I got some lunch plans. I got to get over to the meeting three. That's fine. Guess what? In two Sundays, on November the 4th, we're going to do it again. We're going to have another next steps. And so don't let today pass without stopping by the Connect table and just sign up. It literally asks for your name and your email. That's all you have to do. And so maybe you don't have time today. That's okay. Let us know you want to come in 2 weeks. Would you stand with me? So my mother-in-law asked me, Kenny, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I told her, and she was like, oh, so you're going to try to guilt me into serving? I said, nope. Because here's the thing. This is not a guilt message. This isn't about like stirring up some false thing in you to like feel guilty and obligate you into serving. I want you to be stirred up with what could be and that would actually move you to serve. That you heard these three stories and something inside of you said, man, that's me. Like I'm broken and I need a place to get well. I'm brand new to the city. I need a place to get connected. I've been here forever and I just never took a step in. That could be your story. And maybe the next time we share this message, it's your picture up there that we're sharing that testimony. Would that be you today? Our band's going to sing a song, and here's what I want you to do. If you know you're ready to take a next step and get plugged into our church, while they're singing, would you be bold enough to just step out of your aisle and head down the hallway and go ahead and go meet our volunteer team? It's a 15-minute presentation. You're going to have a few-minute conversation one-on-one with one of our volunteers, and you can be serving in the parking lot next Sunday with Livingston. You can help set up the chairs next Saturday with Chase. Would you come be a part of it? Jesus, thank you for today. Father, thank you for the miracles that we get to see in this church every Sunday. And Father, I just am convinced that someone today needs to take a step in. Father, not just for them and not just for us, but Father, just because you're asking them to do it, just to be obedient. Someone needs healing. Someone needs community. Someone needs purpose. And so, Father, each one of them you have uniquely gifted. You call them valuable far above rubies. You have purposed them far in advance for you, from your handiwork, Father. And you might not need them, but, Lord, you want them. And so, Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the move of God that's happening here. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. We ask it in Jesus' name.